Hey guys.
Hey queens.
Welcome back to the pod this week. We're so excited for this week's episode because we have such an amazing guest. We are interviewing Marguerite because she is on the PR side of things. So I feel like that's just really good insights into the industry. And she's also a creator as well. So she kind of sees it from both sides. And we get a lot of questions from you guys about that stuff. So the interview is so, so good. But before that, just wanted to chat and catch up really quick. Mm-hmm. Any fun updates from you, your weekend? I feel like you had a busy weekend.
I'm kind of doing all the things. Busy weekend randomly. I feel like with the holidays, everyone like starts doing more things. Yeah. So I don't even know what I had. Like I had random things. Highlight of the weekend was Alyssa's housewarming party. It was so fun.
Oh my gosh, you guys. We got this. I saw a girl on social media post this like a year ago, and I've just held it in the back of my head for so long. And I was like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to do this, but it was the perfect opportunity. We did a hibachi dinner at our house. So basically, the hibachi chef comes to your house and they bring their grill and everything, and then they do the whole hibachi experience where they cook in front of you with the fire and all that, and they do that like for your whole party. So that was honestly so fun, and we got to celebrate with our friends and do that and just have a nice little housewarming party. So yeah, that was really fun.
It was so fun. It was so good. And I feel like your holiday decorations are so cute. Like just so subtle and cute.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's very me. Like not too much, but like still holiday.
Yeah.
And whatnot. It's so cute. So yeah, definitely a fun weekend for that. But oh my gosh, you guys, I literally don't drink. And the hibachi chef had like these huge bottles of sake that he was just like squirting into everyone's mouth. So obviously I'm going to participate because I will drink on special occasions. And I feel like obviously housewarming party, fun, like everyone's doing it. And I don't know if it was like a hangover or what, but like the next day I slept in till 10 o'clock, like did not even plan to, like I was just so tired. I was out, and I think it was from that. And then I just like for the next day have this like underlying nausea from I'm pretty sure it was that because there would have been nothing else that would have done that for me. So I'm like reminded as to why, like this is why I don't drink, like this is
so funny.
Why I don't do it as a regular thing. You know what I mean? Like I just keep it for special occasions and make sure I have nothing to do the next day, basically. But
yeah.
So that's like my pretty big update from the weekend. That's it, because I literally spent Sunday doing nothing, basically. But yeah. So anything else from you? Just like running around doing the things.
Yeah, just running around. I feel like I have a chill week this week, I think. Love so that. Yeah, we're getting closer to the holidays and I'm so excited.
Yeah, same. Okay, amazing. Well, we won't waste any more time and we'll just dive into this episode because it's literally so good and we hope you guys love it so much. So we will introduce Marguerite to you guys. Hi Marguerite, we are so excited to have you on the podcast today. Our audience, I already know, is going to love you. And you guys, we actually met Marguerite IRL on our South of France trip, and we just had the absolute best time, got to know her so well. And I feel like she just would drop random tidbits and we were like, you have to come onto the podcast because our community will just love you. So welcome. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This is such an honor.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. Like, we've been wanting someone from the PR side for so long, and you are the perfect person for it.
Also, we didn't want just anyone. We wanted it to be, like, the right person. So I feel like on our trip, we just, like, knew. We're like, Marguerite has to come on because our audience has been waiting for this. So thank you for taking some time today to join us.
Of course.
We'll start with our typical icebreaker. We always do an influence of the week every week, and I feel like it's just a good way to get into the episode. It can be literally anything. It could be like a person, a thing, a vibe, an aesthetic, like whatever is currently influencing you. Danielle, do you want to start? Because I need to think of one.
Okay, I'll start. I feel like I just started this tradition with myself every season. I
love that. Okay.
I get, like, somehow this past year I've been obsessed with, like, a new color combination every season. And right now, obviously, it's pink and brown. So I ordered my Adidas Sambas in pink and brown, and I'm so excited for them. They're like this chocolate, I've never seen this one. It's like this chocolate suede, light pink, little straps or stripes, and like little accents. But I'm so excited for them. They were expensive, but I justified it by selling two of my other pairs on Poshmark. So
love that. Did you have to get them on StockX?
Yeah, wait. I think they were randomly on Farfetch. I feel like Farfetch always has them, but they're kind of like they increase the prices of them always, mm-hmm. but I couldn't find them anywhere else. So, nice. I'm excited about that. My influence of the week, little new Sambas for this season.
Honestly, the ads are marketing me for new Sambas. Like, they're coming from all different types of websites too, and in all of the colorways that we are dying over right now.
Yes, they have so many colorways. I'm like, when did you guys put this one out? Like,
No, literally, I don't know when they launch, and I'm always on the second market or whatever getting them on resale because I just have no idea. I just got a pair, like, too. They're like a white suede with the burgundy stripe, and they're the Sambas, not the Specials or whatever that everyone has. I actually found the Samba pair because I just like that style a little more. And I had to get them on StockX. They weren't crazy or anything. Like, obviously a little more than retail, but nothing wild. And I was like, should I get the Wales Bonner ones? But I have the black Wales Bonner, and I'm like, I just don't need two Wales Bonners. So I don't know. I think Marguerite actually has the burgundy
Wales Bonner. I have the burgundy one, and I thought the exact same when I saw your black. I'm like, do I need those? And like, I think it's a little crazy. Hold back.
Okay, actually, we can just share then. So cool. I love that. Okay, my influence is my obsession with burgundy is not slowing down, and I just did not expect this for myself because I was like, I'm just gonna sprinkle it in, I'm not gonna do too much, like I just want pops here and there, and I am ready for a full-on monochromatic like burgundy outfit. So I am like so ready, but I ordered these Tony Bianco burgundy boots, and I feel like, well, I mean, I think they're burgundy. I might have burgundy blindness and might be calling red burgundy to convince myself that
they're burgundy. I feel like they're really cute.
Okay. So these like stunning, just Tony Bianco. I love the cuts of their boots, just the styles. I feel like there are no other brands truly who do it as well as Tony Bianco. Like they just get it with like the toe shape and how the calf looks and like the heel and everything. And they're super also sleek. So comfortable. So I invested in a pair and I bought them, and I feel like I'm going to wear them all season long, and I'm just so excited. I just literally, this obsession is probably annoying at this point, but like I cannot stop. It's so good. Like, I just love it. So I feel like those boots are my newest obsession, my new little BBs. So.
Okay. I cannot wait for that monochromatic look though. Like so chic.
Hold me to it.
I'm planning it out. It's coming soon. I haven't shot it or anything yet, but it's coming soon. Stay tuned.
TBT. I feel like it almost makes color look more subtle when it's all more monochromatic too. Cause sometimes I get scared to like have such a pop that it almost feels more neutral doing monochromatic.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, Marguerite, what is your current influence of the week?
Okay, guys, I have two because I cannot come out on here without saying my first one, which is you two. Because because I feel like we connected so much during our France trip, and like, what I mean, I knew I would like get along with you guys, but did not know that like I'd literally come away with friends. And you're so sweet, you're so genuine, and like it was just like an all around like lovely, lovely time. And I'm sure everyone listening to continues to be inspired by you because like Danielle, the way like you show up in your content and like your personality really shows through all your content without even speaking too much, which is so like,
I'm crying.
And like the consistency of your style and all your colorways, like it's just so nice and like refreshing and like exciting so every time you see it.
Love that.
And then Alyssa, I feel like your overall style aesthetic, I mean, it's like of no surprise that I am majorly inspired by you. Just like our styles align. Girl, neutral the queens.
Feeling is mutual.
No, seriously.
Oh, I'm in love with you. Aw. But yeah, you just this, like, I'm connected to your vision, you know? Like I feel it. So sweet. But yeah, that's also, my first one.
Just a side note, you guys. This is just the definition of Marguerite. Like, so giving, so sweet. Like, literally. You're just a light. Thank you so much. That was very sweet.
Oh, thank you, guys. So, ditto.
Girlhood.
Girlhood. Love it. Love it. But, yeah, so my actual influence of the week, or number two, I should say, is similar to Alyssa, the rich, dark chocolate browns, or like those muted browns that are like suede and like fur and stuff like that. Like whether it's like fashion or accessories or even like home decor and art. Ugh, I just, yes. I can't get enough of it. And I think like every fall or spring, like we kind of lean towards like a color that's like that warm, rich mm-hmm. color, cozy color, whatever. And we just feel it. Like it consumes you and it just, I don't know. It just gives you that whole aura. And I cannot get enough of that. But I feel like home, like decor is the only place where I'm like, okay, I can like hold off. I don't need to go that crazy. Those are investment pieces. But yeah. Honestly, if it continues spring, next fall, I might have to like rechange some blankets, pillows, and like all the things.
To like the chocolate brown color?
Yeah, definitely.
I love that. Honestly, I feel like that's a really nice home color.
Yeah. Or like eyeliner, nails, like suede bags, like I don't know, like everything yes. that's like that kind of.
Oh my gosh. I've been like contemplating on that Ducey suede jacket for so long. And then I saw you wearing it and I was like, okay,
you convinced me.
She literally like has everything I want. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I pulled the trigger. So like, I feel like I've seen a million people in this jacket, but truly when I saw Marguerite wearing it, I was like, okay, sold, done. And then I ordered it. So
oh my God, it's cute.
Coming in the mail. I think I don't have it yet, but I'm really excited.
So good. So
Marguerite inspired that purchase.
So good. Honestly, you could have also like borrowed mine and like to shoot and stuff.
She's like, you can shoot with mine. And I'm like, girl, I love you.
Yeah, but I cannot be stopped, won't be stopped. Like, it's a problem.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, yay. Well, we can dive into this week's episode. We put up a question box about all things PR, and we got some really great questions from our audience. If you guys don't know, Marguerite is a digital supervisor at a PR agency, so we thought she would just be the absolute perfect guest. So if you want to just maybe start, introduce yourself, maybe give a background on your career, how you got into influencer PR, just like, you know, basics, how'd you start? What made you want to get in the industry? If you went to college, what was your degree? And just all those fun things. Let the audience know who you are.
Yeah. Okay, lots to unpack there because I did not know how I ended up here. This was not the plan. I just kind of went with the flow to what was driving me at the time. And I just kind of like, you know, flowed with it because originally, like, I went to Columbia College Chicago, and I was more of an artsy high school girl. I painted, I did all of fine art, photography, like, I was a creative. So when I got into college, I'm like, okay, I want to do something in this sphere, but then I also, like, I don't know. So I went to art school. But I double majored in art and design and business entrepreneurship because I just wanted to start my own thing at some point in time. I don't know what that was going to be. No clue. But so from there, so in college, I started working as a stylist at All Saints. So I kind of was like drawn to this fashion era, like I just loved everything fashion. I worked for a small boutique as well where I started and like ran their social media account. And then I like freelanced at fashion shows, interned for Modern Luxury Magazine. I just dipped my toe into that marketing sphere and like influential people around the Chicago market and whatnot. So in that beginning, like I had that sense of customer service, styling, social media, just overall marketing. And I think that's like where the thread of just influence in general, it was just so fascinating to me. And I wanted to learn more about the business in general, but also dip my toe in and like start creating content as well. And then from that era of my life, I transitioned to an omni-channel stylist at a fashion company for a women's workwear brand. And I spent half my time traveling around the US for their pop-up showrooms. So I got a sense of doing that. And then we'd bring in influencers to help market that or like get people introduced to the brand. So that was my first like influencer experience. And then on the other end, I did more of that customer experience side of things. So I just started to learn about the operations of it all and the actual like impact it can have. But I think that was my basis for everything. Like just from that foundation, my path was a little bit more refined than when I went into college and I had no idea what I was really doing or wanted to do. But I always joke like that the influence or the industry of influence or mind control is what I, when people ask me what I do, I'm like, oh, I'm in mind control. Because it's just that's like, funny. It's just like, you know, like it's really interesting how you can drive consumers to become inspired and also like consider certain products, experiences, lifestyles, etc. So yeah, that's kind of like the start, I would say. And I think that's when I went all in and moved to NYC, started shifting my own content too to be more fashion-esque and refining my style because goodness, that needed a little bit of refinement.
but I from feel the younger like years. Being in New York, that's like such a good place to be inspired. Like,
yeah,
that's so cool.
I feel like a lot of people get drawn to New York or the big cities when they're trying to like make it. And yeah. I definitely felt that. I felt that in a sense of, especially from the Midwest, that I just, the style wasn't the same. But I really felt a draw towards New York City and dove in. I started freelancing too for KCD, which if you guys don't know, it's, you guys have spoken about it before, but it's one of the big agencies, in New York City, and did a lot of fashion shows with them. So like Zimmerman, Michael Kors, Jason Wu, like,
oh my God, so all, cool.
Yeah, it was really fun to see that side of the industry as well. Yeah. And then COVID happened, went to grad school. And I got a master's in the business of fashion. So that was like my big thing there. So really honed in on like almost like global marketing and sustainability and like all of the aspects that were trending at that time too. Just really wanted to focus in on.
Oh my gosh. I had no idea you had a master's in fashion. That's so cool.
Yeah. Thank you. It was honestly like best decision. I think there's so many aspects that we just don't think about. And unless it's like, especially from globalization, like US marketing versus Europe marketing or like anywhere else, it's just so different. Mm-hmm. And like, how can you intertwine those and tap different markets from that? But yeah, that was the start of it all. And then I got into more to a role at a jewelry brand where I really started influencer marketing more so because they didn't have a... Is my cat popping around?
Her cat is so sorry. Cute. I'm like,
you guys, her cat is just like bopping around behind her, and I'm trying to. Like,
I know.
Focus, but it's so cute.
He's like making biscuits, like in the factory.
He's like running in circles on her bed. I'm just like, this is the cutest thing ever. Okay, it's so sorry so to distract, cute. But that was so cute. Oh my God, I just like so love.
Love. Usually she's tame when I'm on work calls.
She's like, I want to be on a podcast too, Mom.
Wait, what's her name?
This is Opal.
Hi,
little,
Opal.
Little gemstone.
She's like beautiful.
So little marbled cute. Face. Oh God, yeah, you just stay Opal. Over there, lady. I'm fine. Don't that. Distract Mommy.
Mommy's working.
Love that. Where was I? Oh yeah, the jewelry brand. So they didn't do influencer marketing. Because traditionally they got away with like, I shouldn't say away, but traditional forms of marketing they did. Uh-huh. They were in Vogue. They did all the PR stuff and whatnot. And so they just like grew up in this era of like magazines were the way. You just like send to stylists and editors, and then your brand sells. So they were at this point where they're realizing you can't just work on that, and you need to start like developing relationships with these.
I'm sorry, guys. Her cat is so cute. Like,
honestly, this cat's gonna be the star of the show.
I know. I need to like get a screenshot of this so I can show everyone what we're laughing at. I'm so sorry.
Okay, wait. So was this jewelry brand against influencer marketing, or they just hadn't tapped into it yet because it was new?
Yeah, they hadn't tapped into it. Like, they just didn't understand it, didn't want to pay for it, like, just really didn't understand. There were just, like, old ways of working, traditional jewelry brand that, like, came up in the 80s, if you would, and, like, was on mm-hmm. celebrities in Vogue and didn't need to, you know, think about that. So I developed their influencer program and, you know, really
wow.
tried to, like, show them, like, hey, this moves the needle. You send a jewelry piece to Alyssa or Danielle, and like people start following your brand. Different demographics find out about you. So that's how I truly got started in that. And of course, that was more of an organic capacity because that's where all brands start. Mm-hmm. And then I eventually transitioned into this role that I'm in now and have been here for a while. And, work with lots of brands, different budgets, different types of brands and restrictions or like freewheeling strategy. And yeah.
It's probably so cool to see the back end or the other side of things, because for most people, I feel like if you're just an influencer, content creator, UGC, whatever, like we're on one side, and then your job is literally the full other side. And so you kind of have these two worlds colliding, and you have all this knowledge and experience, obviously, which I feel like is just so invaluable. Like, that is such a cool experience and opportunity to have, to be in this industry. So I feel like that's so cool. And I feel like you've already done so much, and like, you know, so much information. And I feel like for people who don't take the industry seriously, I'm just like, how can you not, with everything that you were just saying? Like, so much goes into it. And even now, I think, like, I can't even remember how brands would reach people before social media. Like, it truly blows my mind, because I'm definitely a consumer where I'm influenced on social media. Like, I need to see it on a real person. I need to see people styling. I like to see it styled out. Like, I don't like to see a piece of clothing like on a model standing for a web shoot, like with no movement or anything. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I'm like, that doesn't do it for me. But if I'm on social media scrolling and I see a creator wearing it, styling it or whatever, or if the brand has a really good Instagram page where they style it like that, like, that's when I buy. And I almost buy like immediately too. I don't even really think about it. If I'm like, I see it, that looks good, I would really like that, I buy it. And like, it's crazy to think that that used to not exist, like that connection for the brand, which is just so wild to me.
Yeah, it's insane. When you think about it, like in that scope of just everything, it's really insane. Like, and it's so important. And now it's challenging because social media is such a big part. Like, people click and buy all the time like that. But there's so many brands out there as well. So now everyone's fighting for attention and they all have different budgets and just it's really wild. And it's like, how do you make your brand the one that's going to be the one that they click and buy that quickly versus another?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, thank you for your intro. I feel like, again, you're truly so accomplished and you've done so much. Thank you. So that's just so cool. Well,
dive into questions. A lot of these were submitted from our audience, and you guys asked some really good questions. So we're just gonna get started because there's a lot of them. So first question is, how do you stand out as an influencer from the PR side of things? For example, like if you had to pick between two creators, like what's a deciding factor? Just any tips you can give on that.
Yeah, I would say, and it also depends on my end of things, like what brand I'm like working with or picking for, but creating and maintaining that aesthetic and persona is huge. Just like how I mentioned how like you know what you're getting from Danielle, you know what you're getting from Melissa, like it goes so far. So I'd say that definitely is number one. You want to like come to your profile or profiles platforms and know what you're gonna get on the brand side when you're picking that out, and if it aligns with all of their content. Like you probably wouldn't reach out for too much home stuff if there's not like home on your feed, or if something's not pink or wouldn't align with the colorways of Danielle, like that just wouldn't make sense. But I'd say that's definitely number one, is really curating that. And I know you all have talked about creating a branding book for yourself and really thinking about what kind of content you're putting out there. So I think it all aligns with this storyline and persona, just like you're building a brand persona for your own personal self. So I think for sure, number one. And number two would be reach out. I get a lot of emails every day and I can't respond to all of them, but like, that is so important. And whether that's your agency or you're signed with an agency and they're doing that for you, or you're doing it, or an assistant, I'd say that's so, so, so important. Even if it's like you come across someone like me who works in the industry, reaching out to brand reps, I think is a huge thing as well. So that would be my top two on just like how you can stand out. And if I'm looking side by side to creators, so I think there's like, so it's not always my pick. I could be the one developing lists for the brands to review. And then, you know, it goes through so many review people until it like gets a list gets slimmed down to like, who are we choosing? It could come down to like rates on that point if it's paid, or it could be engagement rate is a huge one. So if you have an 8% engagement rate and someone else has like a 1%, that might be, you know, telling, if someone can convert better, or, you know, if one person does has posted organically and is a huge brand supporter, that's a big one too, for some brands. So I think there's a lot to unpack there overall. But those are some of the big ones, for me or for the brands, or if a brand comes with me with two, how I'd kind of be like, well, this person is super supportive, has a great ER. Let's continue building a relationship with this person over, you know, someone else who, you know, maybe that's next season we'll kick off the relationship, but we don't want to lose this other one that has been so good to us organically.
I feel like that's such a good point, because I know, including myself, like sometimes I'll get butthurt if I see an event or see a campaign go live and be like, oh, I thought I had such a great relationship with that brand, or I thought like I've been doing all these things. But to hear you say like it goes through so many processes and so many people, it's just like you never know like what metrics they're looking at, like what they're seeding for the campaign, like what's their priority, because there's just always so many factors at play. So I feel like that's just really good perspective to share, because you're just like, oh, why did she get picked but not me? And it's just like there's so much that goes on the back end. It's not like it's the same person every time picking the same people, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So that's also very interesting. Yeah. And side note, really fast, I don't know if you guys have seen this on your Instagram yet, but I feel like this is a great time to bring it up. So, you know, under your following, how it says, what is it, like spam accounts or whatever? It shows you like your spam now under following, and then you can like remove that. I also got a new one today that
shoot, I'm blanking. It's like, inactive accounts. So basically these people, first of all, I don't know why Instagram doesn't just remove them because they're inactive, but I think you can deactivate your account and then reactivate it. So I think some of those accounts fall under that because I did scroll through to see, and there were some people in there that I knew or like college friends who must have deactivated their account, but there was also a lot of like random accounts in there too. But that just goes to show that, like Marguerite said, for engagement rate and all of that, like continuously cleaning out your account, getting rid of spam, getting rid of inactive, because the more interactions that you get on your post initially, the better it's going to perform. So it's like removing those are
I feel like back in the day, the engagement rate on the platforms that we look at, which a lot of the different platforms have all different engagement rates. So it's kind of like, which one's right? I don't know. Like, we kind of just take the like thread of them all. But back in the day, it was going based off your followers, right? And like that engagement rate. Now, since there's more, you know, TikToks and Reels that outreach your follower count, that's great for everyone's ERs because that's considered within that. It's the account reach and then those interactions. So that has been such a game changer for creators, and especially small creators who are trying to like step into the industry and can get a really high ER even though they only have like 10,000 followers.
Yeah, it just goes to show that you don't have to have, you know, 100,000 plus followers to be successful. Like, if you have a really engaged, converting community, like, you could be just as successful and be able to be full-time from it, because brands do look for that. So I feel like that's such a great point.
Definitely.
Also, I have a question from what you were saying in the beginning, because I feel like all the girlies want to know, like, do you guys get annoyed when someone is continuously following up?
Like,
or do you...
Not necessarily.
Reach out, but
I would say, like, there's a lot of people at my agency. Maybe you need to reach out to more of those people who work there too, because sometimes you're not in the right inbox, or literally, like, and I feel like I get so many emails a day, and so like within that day, I have to prioritize client emails first. I have to then prioritize what campaigns are going on and then all the other projects and whatnot. And then it's like, I get back to almost everyone, but multiple follow-ups, it's just like I don't have anything right now, but I'm, you know, working on it. It doesn't mean follow-up the next week. Like, nothing's going to happen in 1 week. I have to have conversations with brands and whatnot. So I wouldn't say it's bad, but like, if you're not hearing back, then like, I would definitely email a different person, or maybe like, I don't know, if, for example, like DMing me, some people will be like, hey, are you getting my emails? And I'm like, yes, I just literally don't have the time. Yeah. But it doesn't go unnoticed. But I think with reaching out too, it's like, hey, I created this content like for the brand that you rep. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Like anything like that. Like we grab everything and we like put it into a folder. I like add names to list all the time when people DM me or email me, and it's not like it's going like unheard. It's just like, then there's that starting process, right? That reach out is the starting process, and it is so good, and continue to do it. Don't give me 500 emails, but like, reach out. And then that circle that goes to like the actual execution of the relationship, or like, maybe I then like, great, someone reached out, I'm going to put them on a gifting list for this next upcoming month, to like kick off a relationship with this brand. So it might be like, you know, a little bit of time. And then eventually maybe that does turn into a pay partnership. So I think that's the first start. And keep reaching out, but like, reach out and know that it takes time to move things along to the brand.
On that note, really quick, for me personally, I try really hard not to personally DM a PR rep on their personal page, because I feel a little weird about that, because I'm like, I don't know if like, this is like their personal page, like they probably don't want work here. Like, do PR reps get annoyed when that happens, or do they prefer an email? Because like, I feel like sometimes I'm like, I don't want to make it awkward. Like, sometimes there are PR people who they have their name, and then in their bio they're like,
blah, blah, blah PR. And like, that's where they work. And they are like, you know, announcing themselves that they mm-hmm. do that. So sometimes if that's the situation, then I feel a little more comfortable because I'm like, okay, well, she's obviously stating where she works. But then there's some PR reps who don't have it in their bio. And then like maybe some girl got PR from them and tagged them. But I'm like, I don't want to like interrupt your personal peace and your space, you know? So
first of all, I just thank you.
Clear that for the, yeah. like, clear that like for the audience too. Like, would you say it's better to email that person than send a DM, or are DMs okay? Like, what's
100% email, DM for yeah. sure. The agency, the brand always. And then, so like for me, for example, I follow a lot of girlies and guy content creators as well, and I might be like commenting back and forth with them or like in the DMs already, so sometimes it's just like an additional message that they're like, oh hey, I saw you, blah blah blah, and that's fine, you know. Or if like I meet you out and about or at an event and then you get yeah. to know me, 100%, you know, talk to me. If it's like one off and that's like it's not very like friendly interaction and it's just like networking and smoozing to like get along, like, you know, then that's like creates yeah. a different vibe. So, just be authentic. And, you know, if you feel connected to someone, then reach out personally. But yeah, I'd say always feel free to DM the, again, agency, Instagram, and email would be best. Okay. But like,
love
if you guys were to slide it, you know what I mean? Like, it just
yeah.
depends.
Yeah, it's like read the room.
Assess the vibes.
Know.
Right. What,
yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah.
If you've never met this person before, don't be DMing them on their personal account because they don't know you. But if you've had that relationship, the interactions, then it's probably, or like even if you follow each other, I think that's another thing I do too, is I'll follow them. And mm-hmm. then if they follow back, I'm like, okay, we're starting. You
know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Starting to build the relationship.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Because I'm not like, I'm not a big smoozer. I don't like to be inauthentic. And like, I, you know, I like to talk to people like they're friends. I like to talk to people like they're people. Like, you know, I don't yeah. want to also, like, I don't want to be talked to. Like, that's just your end goal. Right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Perfect. So take that into your outreach notes, girls.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like there was such good tips in there. Let's move on to the next one because I feel like we have so much to get through and like yeah. we could literally talk about this all day, but we don't want to keep you forever. So what do PR agencies expect from you once they send you a PR package? Because obviously they're like, you know, some will be like no strings attached, like, mm-hmm. you know, we want this organic, but like truly what I feel like there sometimes is that underlying, like no one's going to say it, but it's like, if you share us and tag us, then there's potential opportunity for you, or they are watching to see who does do something and who doesn't. So yeah. What mm-hmm. are your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah. So the no strings attached comment is more so people, you know, like accept the gifting and there's no back and forth because like, you know, yeah. like you'll probably be like, no, sorry, like don't want to create anything. So I think that's that line to where like we don't get that back and forth. We just want to gift you. But for us in particular, like for our brands, there are KPIs to be met. So industry standard is from an influencer seating, let's say if we have like 20 to or like 500 is 30% conversion rate in terms of posting. So essentially, like, we need to get those posts in order for the...
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
For our KPIs. So that would be step one. But like, if you're going to get something and not post, then it doesn't really help you along because you won't be really considered for other giftings. And then why would we ever offer you a paid collaboration if you're not going to do like something? So I'd say it definitely is some sort of post or whatnot. And then what you do with it after, leverage that to maybe get a paid partnership or mm-hmm. leverage that, be like, hey, I created this for you. How best can we work together, or upsell, like, hey, do you like created this video? It looks like some recent ads you pushed. Do you want any usage? Would you like to use this in your email marketing? And then like upsell like usage mm-hmm. at first, or say, I would love to create more things like this for you, like XYZ. So I think it's like, I would take it as, because obviously we all want to show up and your livelihood is getting paid. And I push for that on my end, trust me. I'm like that middleman between the brands to like be like, hey, we have to pay people. But ultimately take that gifting, if it's someone you want to work with, and turn it into a partnership. Like push so hard to turn it into a partnership as best as you can. You can't do that with every gifting, but
yeah,
that would be
so like, would you say if you are not going to post, like you just like, you know, like you don't have the time, like you're just like probably not going to post. Like, is it better to just politely decline it?
Yeah. Are brands offended if you do that?
Yeah. Like,
no. I mean, I'm also the rep. So I kind of like bury that offensiveness, I guess. And it's, yeah, I would say we're going to follow up until maybe you accept or decline it. And it's totally fine to decline. And if you're not going to post it, like, for sure, like, don't take it. But that's not to say, like, I don't get gifted stuff and don't post. You know, I think we can't post everything. Absolutely not.
I know. I'm like staring at my pile in the corner.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. And we don't expect that. Like, I don't expect that as someone on my end. And some brands have a lot of budgets to send a lot of product out. And other brands, it might be a little bit more coveted. You know, like for high end brands, that does cost a lot more money for product to be sent out. That's when like they're like conversion heavy and they're like pushing to like do that. It just depends. And if it doesn't align with you, like, don't post, you know. But if it aligns and you can do something, do something.
Do you think it hurts your chances down the line? Like, say at the moment, like, you're just at capacity, you can't take it, and you say no. Does that hurt your chances for the next round? Are brands like, oh, she said no last time, so we're not interested? Or are they still, will they still consider you? If that makes sense.
I'd say it's always good to leave the line in there, unless the brand really doesn't align or their products really don't align with you. Like, thank you for considering me. Like, keep me posted on your next line sheet. I'm focusing on paid collabs right now, but would love to stay in touch. Or, like, you reach out to them maybe in a couple months when you're like, I did see something on that I would maybe like to style. Just keep it organic like that, but never close the door unless you're just like, that brand is not, not my cup of tea.
Yeah. No, that's a good tip, because I feel like sometimes with brands, they'll send me, they're like, oh, you know, you can pick off this line sheet of 5 items, and I'll just be like, thank you so much for thinking of me. Unfortunately, I don't think any of these really fit my style at the moment. Like, please keep me in mind for future opportunities. And sometimes they'll come back and they'll be like, oh, thanks for letting us know. Is there anything else on the website that you have your eye on? So like letting them know. And I think it just comes down to just being, having good communication and being clear. And sometimes brands will follow up like 3 times. And like, I try to answer as many emails as I can just to let them know, because it's like, we have friends who are PR reps like you who have to send the emails, who have to send the follow-ups if you haven't responded. So I feel like at the end of the day, it just makes it easier for the PR rep on the other end if you just respond yes or no. Even if it is that no, that way they can mark you off as a no and like move on, potentially find another influencer, and you're just making their life a little easier as opposed to just ghosting. And then, you know, there's just like a lot of people are involved, time involved. So it's just like, I personally try to be as considerate as possible. And then I feel like you build a good relationship with a rep that way, because they're like, okay, she'll tell us if she wants it or not. You know what I mean? And like, okay, no, she's going to respond, let's ask her, kind of situation. So.
Exactly. I mean, think about it. You're emailing and reaching out and like, hey, I'm a content creator, this, this, this. And if you don't get emails back and you just keep following up, it's the same thing on like the other end as well. So, I mean, it's hard. Trust me. My inbox is not perfect. But as at least sending a note saying like, oh, like, thank you so much for your email. Acknowledged at least. And then, you know, whatever steps are next.
Yeah. Great, great tips. Okay. Next question is, what kind of content are brands loving or looking for that are big in the influencing marketing world right now?
More and more brands are now wanting to use content for marketing purposes. So organic and paid. So statics mostly for emails and whatnot, video repurposing for socials and ads. So whatever that fits into your niche and like your type of like content style, I'd say just, you know, lean into that as best as you can. But like, if you want to make your content more aligned for that, look what they're posting or repurposing as an ad or whatever, and then kind of curate your content to look similar to that. And then potentially, even if you get that organic gifting and then you want to upsell that, like I'm like, that's a smart move when people get a gifting, create content, and they're like, here's what I posted. I'd love to create more like this for you. Like, here's a bundled rate of XYZ or like something like that. I'm like, you are smart, girl. You are so smart. Okay, because then I can bring it to the brand, or the brand reps will be like, easy peasy. We love this video. We can make this work. Whether it's not that video, maybe then they're like, okay, I can purchase like a bundle of, I don't know, 5 or something. Like, but it depends on if they have budget, obviously. But it's a full-time job, guys. Like, I props and kudos to all of the content creators out there, because it's not easy. There's so many out there.
Yes, and I'm glad you said that about girlies trying to upsell, because like, I have done this before, however I have gotten all no's from it, so I'm like, okay, that's still a possibility. I'm like, maybe I'm just like shooting in the dark, because like, there's not these planned out campaigns, and I'm like, would love to create more reels like this one for you, here are my links, but then they're like, thanks, but like, we don't have anything right now. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no, it's hard. So let's say like a brand does have budget for not just organic influencer marketing but paid, it could be like, and this is actually a pretty big budget, if they have like each quarter, let's say they have like each quarter they have 20k to spend, so it's like what, like 80k per year, which isn't that much but is a lot for a lot of brands. Like, that's a lot of money. So if I have 20k, like, what does that give me? Like 5 to 8 influencers per quarter. Like, think about that, and like, your big pool, everyone, like, there's so much stuff out there, and like, sometimes the opportunities are really just like so small that it's hard to get everyone you want in that little bucket. So yeah, I'd say like, keep fighting for it, and like, just be like, you can see something go live, like you said, and like, it's sad. Like, you know, even I see that. I'm like, I would love to do that. But just know that like, there's, it's almost impossible, you know, it's like, not impossible, but like, it's, the pool of like a campaign is so small, so it's really challenging to fit everyone in. But if you build that relationship with them, you have way more of a chance to do so.
Mm-hmm. I think that was good tips too, especially for people who are maybe not video creators, that you, if you're still a photo creator, there are still opportunities for you where brands can use your content for UGC, newsletters, you know, paid ads, marketing. Like, there's always a way for you to incorporate your own style and personality into these opportunities, because there's just so many different ways to reach audiences. So if you're not comfortable with video, like, that's okay. Like, focus on your photos and creating quality content and pitching brands from that angle. And there's still opportunity there because they mix in so many different types of content. So I really love that too. Okay, next question is, what makes a brand want to work with an influencer repeatedly, aka green flags?
Green flags. Definitely, number one, always be nice. that goes without saying, but...
No, literally say that louder for the people in the back. Like, so true.
So true. Be nice. Yes. Be easy to work with. Just be like lovely as possible. And I mean, I try to match that energy. I don't know about other people. But the best you can, like, yeah. I'd also say just consistency in your workflow. So how responsive are you? Are you on time? What does your content look like? Like, is it, we look at like, oh, we spent this much on that and that's all we got. So like, make sure your prices are aligned with the type of content you deliver too. And that also comes out to metrics as well. Metrics are huge. If we see someone have a high click-through rate or even just like make killer videos and like get so many impressions, like we're like, oh, we would like, we'd be silly not to work with that person again. So I'd say all of that, like, you know, yeah, is good. But all, you guys have talked about this before, but tacking on a little bit of organic to the paid, like during your unboxings, or maybe like you do have your paid posts go live and then you might incorporate that product in like another post organically somehow. That goes, like going the extra mile like that. It's a little bit of a hot take because, you know, you don't want to be giving away free work, but it's like, if they're a constant supporter organically of the brand, why not? Like, we're going to continue you working with you on a paid level, but then you also give back a little bit of organic and you're shooting anyways sometimes. Like, so if you can include that in there, then it kind of just is an everlasting, like, that's how long-term partnerships are truly made, like that, when it works in that kind of back and forth.
I feel like that kind of goes into our next question a little bit, and... just, I guess we get asked this a lot. So what in your opinion is the best advice you can give to an influencer who's really trying to go from gifting to paid? Because you were just talking about like, where's that line where you're getting paid to post and then you give a little organically, but what if you're giving a lot organically initially because you're like, I want to get this brand's attention. You know, I want to work with them. I want to be paid. Is there anything that's too much where the brand is like, oh, well, she's just posting us all the time anyway, so we're not going to pay her because she's just going to keep posting us, so it's free work. Fear. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
like, is there a fine line there, or do you have any advice for that? Or, yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Let me give you some tea alongside this answer, darling.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love that. Thank gosh.
Like, and just to put into perspective of like what I hear from all angles, from my influencer friends, from you guys, from like the brands I talk to, from the strategies we build, like, there's a lot that goes into it, but the problem is, and this goes into like my first tip, but like when select brands decide they want to dip their toe into influencer marketing to start, there's a like, few things that are like going on in their heads right there. Like, they don't believe in it. They've like, they know their marketing strategy and like, this is new. They're not sure. Mm-hmm. They're used to the old methods, whatever, like we talked about before with like being in Vogue and like stuff like that. So my job is then to like convince them. How do you convince them? Or like in when you're in-house as well, how do you start? You do seeding of organic product. You know, you send out your product and you see what you get back from there. And this is great because it starts relationships. And then they start seeing that it works. Slowly but surely, they start seeing. And it takes a long time to get from organic to like brands getting starting to get paid, like in their heads that's, you know, how the industry is moving. But the first step is like brands are getting used to getting this attention for free, and like, yay and nay, you know, like, because there's a threshold there where this is your guys's livelihood. And so that's usually when brands come to me and they just want organic gifting, and we're like, great. And then after a while of seeing momentum, we're like, okay, this is where you have to start paying. Otherwise, these organic supporters are not going to stay. Danielle is not going to consistently keep posting. Like, they have lives, they have bills.
So true.
Yeah. So it's kind of a fine line, and I don't get in a lot of fights, I'll say, but I definitely push and try to like fight for that, because in the end, you're not going to continue that relationship if you don't end up like starting to pay people. But I feel like you guys do such a great job of like talking about this, and it's hard because it's like, I don't know the answer, but I'd say like one would be learn the brand's strategy, whatever you can do. You've mentioned before, like asking someone like, hey, do you know if they pay? Like, if you know certain brands don't, or if you know certain brands are just doing gifting, like if you know someone like me who maybe works on a brand, or if you know a brand rep, you can try to like figure out what's going on. If you don't see any paid marketing out there, you're probably not ever going to get to that point. So don't waste your time on those companies. That would be definitely like the first thing, is like learn the strategy as best as you can, and hone that down to like maybe like a couple of brands where you're like, I know these people do partnerships. Have some like goal reach like brands, and then have some like lower goal reach brands. You know what I mean? Like something like very like high reach that like you're like, I could get that, and that's like your dream brand. But then make sure like you also like reach out to like smaller brands that do have budget, that, you know, there's like, just like give variety to yourself, because you want to also see which brands are accepting you into that when the time comes. But I think we mentioned before organically, starting there, but then keeping in touch. There's so many people who post and don't follow up after. But the people that I keep in mind mostly are, they follow up and they're like, hey, I posted this, or they're like trying to upsell or something like that. Like, they stay in my head. One, because queen, you know how to run a business. But two, like that's how you'll then be like, oh yeah, we'd love to work with you more. If you know, if we have budget, or if I don't have budget, I'll be like, let me just send you more product in the meantime. Like,
yeah.
But I'll continue to like push you on our lists, to then, you know, hopefully get to that point. But yeah, upselling your content, is a good way, because that's like an entry point for them. Let's say you're like, hey, I created this for you. I'm offering a one-time, or whatever you want to say, bundle of this, whatever you want to do. And I'd say like that could go to your favor too, or they'll keep you in mind. But those would be like, we've talked about all of those already, but I'd say market research is another one. So what accounts and creators are getting partnerships? Like, take a look. What types of content are they creating? What does their community look like? What do their comments look like? Like, do they have any engaged numbers? And maybe try to create something like that. If you see they're working with a brand, like, you know, like do it in your own way, but that would be my like best bet on that. 'Cause macros still do organic. Some of the biggest macros that are getting a lot of paid partnerships do organic. I can name like so many off of my head that I know I could send them something and they're going to post, but then also they're getting paid partnerships too. So it's like they're creating ad-like content to attract the ad-like content. if you catch my drift.
I feel like that's such a good mindset to have, because I feel like sometimes influencers or creators are like, well, I'm not posting if it's not paid. And you're kind of closing a door on yourself with that mindset, because it's like, it doesn't hurt to throw a bone, like throw a story out there, whatever, just to, yeah, show that organic post. And then the fact that you're saying that macros even still do that is just like such a good business strategy, I feel like, because like you said, it's welcoming in like new partnerships as well. So I feel like that's a really good mindset to have, is just being open with that and not being so stingy. Well, I'm not posting. It's like, okay, well, if you're not going to, someone else is, and then they're going to get that opportunity, not you. So if that is going to be your mindset, then that's what's going to happen, unfortunately. But
yeah, do what you can, and if it aligns for you. Also, like, sometimes it's cheaper for us shopping addicted girlies to get the organic like giftings as well, and be able to incorporate that in your content. But I'd say, like, to sum it up, like, know if the brand pays, like, figure out some sort of their strategy, talk to people, talk to influencers who've received gifting. Have they ever gotten paid for that? And they're like, no, girl, then maybe that's not worth your time. And then, start that organic relationship and follow up. Like, let them know I posted organically, period, for free. Next time, let's make this paid with a wink. Like, I don't know.
Oh my gosh, honestly, this is such good insider advice. Like, I'm also just glad that the industry has someone like you, like, pushing for influencers, because I never would have thought that these brands would think in the back of their minds, like, okay, if we're not, if this person keeps posting for us organically and, like, we don't pay them, like, we're gonna lose these organic supporters. Like, I never really thought that brands would be afraid of that. So I'm glad we have girlies like you on the other side.
Yeah.
One quick question regarding this before we move on. Does it make a difference for you if someone's agency, like their manager, is reaching out to you versus the influencer themselves? Does that matter? Does that make a difference? Not really.
No. I mean, honestly, when I, like, I personally know how much work goes into your guys' stuff. And, like, if I see someone managing themselves, I'm like, holy, you got, like, you're running a business. Like, you're taking, like, you know, it's work. It's not easy at all. And I wish everyone could have agents, like, and managers too, because it just takes, it gives you more time to create that content, you know? I don't see any difference, really. Hopefully you have a good manager, you know, or an agent to be repping you and, like, talking about you. I have some agents that I'm, like, friendly with, and it's, they're just so lovely and nice. And others, like, I literally, like, you know, they just, I get an email and I know their first name. There's no, like, persona behind it.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I feel like that was all good, really good insight. Okay. Next question is, are there things you would tell content creators to avoid doing? Just any red flags you could mention off the top of your head?
Yeah. I say that the biggest thing for this is watch out for unaligned brands, which, I mean, you girls are very curated. Some people starting out might not, like, be super curated about that, but, like, just be mindful of what other brands you're posting about, or, like, mixing aesthetic lifestyle, and, like, stay consistent. So if a brand is, like, more, like, high-end or luxury, they might avoid someone with, like, Fashion Nova in your bio. or
I have heard that, definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, it depends. Like, and that just might be something where it's like, oh, I'll keep, maybe not that person, but, like, I have, like, a list of people. Maybe, like, I'm like, this person would be, like, does post more fast fashion, but it's elevated and it looks like she has great conversion, and I'm going to keep her on this list in the mix for diversity on this list that I'm getting to the brand. Maybe then the brand reviews it and then they make the final choice, of course. Like, yes, we'd want to, like, gift them. No, we'd not want to gift them. Yes, paid, no paid. And so a lot of the times too, I'm, like, putting my reasoning, like, more fast fashion, but very elevated style. So they could probably easily convert potentially if they have, like, a really good engaged audience. So I think, you know, when vetting influencers, I have to think, like, are they right for the brand? Would they sell, or are they more content focused? Can they create stuff? Or like what's their purpose within like this gifting for the brand? So yeah. Yeah. Watch out for unaligned brands would be my biggest thing.
I was not expecting that answer. That's a really good one.
Yeah. And avoid doing. I'm trying to think what else. I'd say that's the biggest one for me off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, cool. Is there anything you wish you could tell influencers, like you would just want to shout this from the mountain if you could like have all their attention just to tell them something, or just like any insider tips you can share? I feel like you've shared so much already, but is there like anything else that comes to mind with that?
Yes, I think a couple of things. Well, one, it's similar to what I said earlier, like you go girl in a sense, because there's like so much out, like it's not easy being a content creator at all. And I'd say just like keep reaching and like keep aiming for those paid partnerships and like keep pushing it. Consistency is going to pay off. And you just really have to show up for yourself in a consistent manner, whatever that looks like for you, whatever your outreach is like, whatever your content's like. And that will get you super far. And yeah, that would be my first thing, is just like, you know, keep pushing for that. Because it's like I said, like there can be so many creators I want to work with personally, but then like it doesn't make it to that line because we can only have a small pool. So yeah, that would be definitely the thing that I have to say for that. I think we talked about like the list and approval process before, but that's something people don't realize, is that there's so much that goes into that. And I could create, like I could keep someone on a list every month, and then like they always end up being fallen off of it at the end, like after it goes through everyone. So it's, and I don't agree with sometimes how the lists end up. I'm a consumer myself. So it's like, I also select people based on, you know, who I personally follow, but then I have to think like, okay, what about this demographic? Okay, what about this demographic? And continue to make the list diverse and stuff like that. So it's like, also I have to take personal preference out of that, but then it goes through that review process of the brand. And then they put their personal preferences in it, and then they put their marketing preferences in it, and it just like keeps dwindling. So I think that list and approval process is good to know, because someone will see a gifting go out or a paid partnership and they're like, why wasn't I on this, Marg? I'm like, trust me, you were yeah. girl. You were. So I think that's like the hard truth there. But for the agency side, there's different scopes of work as well. So like similar to learning like what brand strategies are, some clients are only scoped for organic seeding and that's it. We might be scoped for like a certain amount of seeding per month and whatnot. Or sometimes we'll have social media clients, and then they do in-house like creator work as well. Or like sometimes we'll do organic, but then in-house is them. So if you're reaching out for me to like do paid, I can't necessarily, I mean, like send, be like, hey, they do that in-house. I could, but like, it's just like, it's going to be a different person. So then that entryway is kind of harder. Yeah. So the scopes of works are different, like for sure. So, I mean, if you ask me too, like, do you guys do paid with them? I can say yes or no.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have a question and you can absolutely decline to answer this. I'm like, wink three times if you don't want to answer this and we'll move on. But is it true that agencies will have blacklists like with influencers on it or like management on it? I'm so curious.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it's large. There might be some people like at events. Like
if you just have specifically a terrible experience with someone, you're like, we are never working with her again. She like didn't turn on content on time. She was so rude. Like she was literally the worst. Like I never like want to have that experience again. Like you can like blacklist someone.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's variations of that. If someone gets so drunk at an event, like, you know, you'll remember that. Oh my gosh. Or if, we had someone like show up at an event who like also like had, oh, I don't think I can say that. Never mind.
Love that. Love that.
Like legally, I can't say that. moving on.
I love that. So honestly, just like manage your business, like be professional. Yes, these events are fun and whatnot. Yes, there's alcohol, but like also remember, like you're a business. This is like a job. Like this is the brand's reputation. This is your reputation. And it's like, just manage yourself in like a professional manner, because there are brand reps here. And like you said, when people do certain things, like that is remembered. And unfortunately, like, if you have a little too much fun, then like that could potentially hurt a future relationship. So I think that's just a good point for people to remember, and like, you know, stay professional and whatnot. Do have all your crazy fun on your personal time, but when it's on the brand's time, the brand's dollar, just, you know, remember, keep it professional. But okay, love that. Do you have any predictions for the 2025 influencer space? Like, do you see things changing? Do you see things staying the same? I don't know. What's your take?
Yeah, like I think the world of influencer marketing is learning that this is here to stay, and that budgets are needed. It's been a slow race for some brands, but obviously some of the brands are catching up, as you can see, that do have budget. And I think that like organic is going to not go away. It's always going to be around, but there's going to be more budgets put in place because they just can't miss out on this marketing channel. And they can't just get away with not paying people. And, you know, I say this endlessly in my strategies that rebuilding, like you can't just have organic and that's it. Like there's got to be something else to continue the relationships there. There's only so many people that are going to post for free and then move on. Like you're going to run out. So I'd say that is going to be a huge thing. There's going to be budgets growing. Even if they're micro to start, they're going to continue to grow, and brands definitely know that, you know, there has to be something there.
Love that.
Unfortunately, some of these brands are catching up when influencer rates are like already really high.
Really skyrocketing. Yeah.
So the entry for brands who like are starting out get a little sticker shock for some of these. So I'd say if anything, like if you're able to kind of like negotiate your prices for a newer brand or something like that, and they can create budget for you, that's an amazing place to start, because they're going to remember that. They're going to want to grow with you as well. Yeah, because some brands can't afford a lot of placements, even if they're like trying. They're like trying to get. I'm like, they're like, I have this small little budget, and I'm like, I'll try to work with this small little budget. Like, who am I gonna get for that? But you know, some people will work with you and make sure that happens, and maybe the brand blows up the next year, and you're already like so intertwined with them that it just makes sense that they continue a relationship with you and your audience.
I love that.
Good insight.
And do you think like video content is going to continue to maybe kind of be the front runner of content types?
100%. Yes, 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 yes. But I have like in email, there's more static content. And I know a lot of brands use influencer content in their emails, whether they have rights to or not. They should always have rights. So I think a mix of both in that sense. Obviously, video content, you're going to get like a lot more reach. You're going to grow your audience more. You get to show personality. You get to show multiple outfits at once. So I think just having a good balance of both is good to have in your arsenal.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Anything else you want to share or get off your chest? Or you've honestly shared so much with us. I feel like there's just so many good. I need to like go back and re-listen and like take notes on everything. But yeah, was there anything else, or was you're like, that's good?
I mean, we could literally talk for hours about this. I guess if any of your audience do have follow-up questions, let me know. Maybe we could do a story Q&A or part two, whatever you want.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing.
But yeah.
Well, okay. Last question is, where can everyone find you on socials?
Oh, so sweet. You can find me at Margaret McAdam. MarGueritMcAdam. I try to show up my best consistently there, but I do have a full-time job, so
you would never know. Like,
no,
seriously.
She is hustling, you guys. Like, I feel like really we have a similar aesthetic, and like I just love all your posts, like your style, all your fashion pieces. Like, when I see your stuff, I'm like, oh, so good. Like, I love that. Good. So yeah, you guys,
check out these
profiles. Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing all this information. I feel like we just got so many good tips from an actual PR person who is just going to give it straight and real, like, you know, no beating around the bush. Like, I feel like creators can take away so much from this, grow from this, learn strategy and all that. So we are so, so appreciative. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on today. We love you so much. And we'll definitely have to get a part two in eventually, because I feel like the three of us could talk about all of this literally forever. So
I know.
Seriously. Yeah, so. I mean, it's endless. There's so many things to learn from both sides too. And that's what keeps me going a lot, because I see how hard everyone works, and I get to know everyone personally who I work with. Like creator wise and then I come back to work and I'm able to push that strategy, because that's the way the industries are going. So I'm kind of like, I like being a double agent.
I'm on your hand, Montana.
Love that.
Slay. Yeah. We love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We love you, and we'll chat with you later. Bye, girl.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Marguerite. Bye. Oh my gosh, you guys, that was such a good episode. I feel like I just learned so much, and I need to go back and listen to it and take notes, because
Marguerite, that was
really
so
dropped
good.
Some knowledge on us, and we are so grateful to have that conversation with her again, having the perspective from the PR side and the creative side, and just her saying that she like vouches for influencers. I feel like it's just so important to have in the industry, and she really gets it from both sides, which is so cool.
Yeah, we might have to have her back for part two, because I feel like we could have asked her so many more questions, and this is already a long episode, but such a good one. Has to be one of my favorites.
Yeah, honestly, I think it's one of my favorites too. Like, she's just honestly so sweet and general, and just so grateful we met her from our South of France trip. And like, truly, these trips just like bring you together. Like, you make actual friends, and you just leave like, I don't know, feeling so fulfilled. And I feel like Marguerite was definitely a huge part of that. So, so grateful for her, and hope you guys loved this episode. And let us know in our DMs if you want to hear from her again, because we could definitely do a part two with more questions, because we could talk about this all day. But love you guys so much. If you made it all the way to the end of this episode, this was a long one, but a good one. And we love you guys and appreciate you always. Hope you have the best week, and we will see you in our next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.